The show you're about to hear is a member of the Plains Talkers Podcast Network. To find out more, go to PlainsTalkersPodcast.com.
Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Plains Talkers Podcast, a show by casuals for casuals. I'm your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my... Hey, I am loving this summer weather and summer loving, and it had me a blast. Co-host Aramis Perez. Aramis, sir, how are you tonight?
Can't focus on the weather. I just keep building decks.
Yeah. You've kind of gone a little... Man, it's like you're almost... Like, I almost want to get you a... Like, you know... Like, get a meeting for you or something. Like, hello, my name is Aramis, and I keep building commanders.
The light at the end of the tunnel. It's I'm almost done.
Yes, but once you hit 32, I'm sure you'll never build a deck again. Dude, you're going to be one of those cats who's, when you build your new house, you're going to be like, I need a magic room, and it needs 65,000 feet of shelving.
Well, there's going to be a room dedicated to, you know, gaming slash entertainment. So, yes. Yeah, there's going to probably be, you know, in-wall bookshelves that are going to be filled with commander decks.
That's fantastic. So anyway, we're here in Untap. And before we begin tonight, we'd like to remind you that this episode and every episode of the Plains Talkers Podcast is sponsored by Kerwin's Game Store. Kerwin's Game Store is New York State's premier source for collectible card games, tabletop games, miniatures, comic books, retro video games, and toys. With their clean, open gaming area available to everyone, Kerwin's provides a fun and inviting atmosphere for new and experienced gamers alike. Kerwin's has locations in both Catskill, New York, and on the second floor of the Poughkeepsie Gallery in Poughkeepsie, New York, and Adventure... I can never remember that second word.
Adventure Awaits, man.
Adventure Awaits, that's it, is in Nyack, New York. I really need to get that into, like, the script.
Yeah.
Adventure Awaits is in Nyack, New York. And you know what? Those three locations are incredibly awesome retail locations. They're the best place to go in gaming. They also have a really great website. You can find them at KGS Online. That is KiteGoSamuelOnline.com. And don't forget, you get 5% off any online order when you use the promo code PlainsTalkers at checkout.
Promo toads, you don't want to lick those.
Yeah, don't lick the promo toads, you know, because they're not very friendly. We also want to recognize our patrons. Our rare level patrons are Spencer, Chiba Tank, Bell, Levi, George, David, Brian, Apollo, Muertis, Parkman, and Dragon D's Nuts. Ding! Still one of the best names ever. And we have our producer level patrons, John, Jacob, Jamie, and Vic. See what I did there? I just did it in the rhythm. You did it in your head, though. It's called mind control. It's why I make every password when I reset it for somebody, Will is awesome, 2022, exclamation point. So... these people really help out the show in so very, very, very many ways. One thing they all get, however, is the chance to play with us on our Wednesday Commander Craft broadcasts. If you want to get in on that, just go to patreon.com/planestalkers. They also get first slot in for Winnaboxes. The Producers Lounge is talking about trying to do a Winnabox somehow this summer. Because this is a long time to wait for another tournament. So... we may be trying to put something together. I may try to do it around Second Life, or Extra Life, not Second Life. Nobody wants to do Second Life anymore. Extra Life. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that, so stay tuned. We want to remind you as well that Commander Craft is our Wednesday show where we play listeners like you using webcams and four-person Commander. We're back in the studio again this week. We are going to be joined by one of the OG Commander Crafters. It looks like Scuba Steve is going to be playing with us on Wednesday for game one at least. We'll be looking, patrons, you got a little announcement this morning if you want to play on Wednesday with us. Otherwise, I'll open it up to the field tomorrow morning as normal. So, and let's see here. Oh, it's a current. Okay, you're talking. I wanted to make sure. I saw you typed, so I immediately was like, did I miss Pam? So,
yeah, nope, not yet.
All right, so. Finally, we are proud to be the flagship podcast for the Plains Talkers Network of Podcasts. Our sister show, Cancer Cartel, has been going very well. They're doing fantastic. They're on Anchor at anchor.fm/Cancer Cartel, and you can download them on most podcatchers. For more, hit them up on our Discord at discord.planestalkerspodcast.com. Finally, we're proud to remind you that we are a part of the Geek to Geek Media Network. This is a network of geeky podcasts dedicated to promoting positivity and inclusion, as well as just showcasing some really great content. You definitely want to check it out. They have a ton of great podcasts and articles and everything else. Just go to geektogeekmedia.com, but we're still in Untappd. So I'm going to untap this really great, but low, this is a low end, you know, low volume here, called Leffe, but it's so dang refreshing. So it's a great beer. I'm going to untap that tonight, and then I'll ask my friend Aramis, sir, how the hell are you?
I'll use it with a qualifier. I am doing fine. Rest of the fam, we'll see. Pam's got the old infect counter on her.
Oh no!
She got into some poison ivy or poison oak over the weekend, and it is ripping up her arm something bad. So,
Cantrip Cartel will never be the main show. We're separate shows. I hate to interrupt. Separate but equal. We're all equal. Go on, sir. Sorry.
No, it's fine.
So, poison oak. That's not cool, though. Is she doing
poison
all right?
Ass, yeah. She's okay. You know, it's just the arm is, it's doing the whole itchy, rashy, oozy, drippy thing, which is kind of gross. So, you know, she's got some calamine lotion. We got some meds from the pharmacy, and she's hoping to be on the mend pretty quickly. So there is that. But like I said, I'm doing good. I've been building commander decks like crazy the last week or so. I'm only 5 decks away from getting my Project 32 completed, so I'm super happy about that. Although I don't think I'm going to get any more decks done in the near future. It's probably going to be several months down the road before I get any more done.
Cost? Or summer? Summer.
A little bit of both. A little bit of both. And it's just, I think, you know, I'm hoping at this rate by the end of the year to have the rest of them done. But you know, anything can happen, but I'm amazed that I have 27 of these things now.
Yeah. So,
but that's me.
Well, that's cool. We took last week off. Guys, I'm going to shoot straight with you. We didn't do it on purpose. Here's what happened. We got back Sunday, my wife and I, and, for some reason, I didn't realize that Monday was Monday. I thought Monday was Sunday. So I got to about 7, or I think I got to like 8:30, and I was like, oh yeah, it's Monday. Well, Aramis didn't text me, so you know what? Whatever. So sorry about that, but we kind of laid that groundwork anyway, that, you know, there's going to be weeks on and weeks off. So that's why we weren't on the air. There was nothing major going on. I mean, I went home last weekend, which was fantastic. Like, it's just really nice to go home, you know, and did a lot with my church peeps and stuff, and then saw some friends and things of that nature, and then went to dinner at Delmonico's, and that was really cool because basically my pastor and his wife just basically, you know, just railed on me for an entire 2 hours in front of my wife. It was really great. Just every inside joke you can think of. So
sorry I missed that.
Oh yeah, it was fantastic. My wife didn't stop laughing once. And then, you know, last week was kind of, it was cool, and then I had to go back home Sunday for my cousin Danielle's for her memorial service. Well, it was more like this was the celebration of life. The memorial service happened the day before, and you know, I wasn't going to go out for 2 days. So I went yesterday for like the celebration of life. And it was bittersweet. It was so cool to be around my family. It was very cool to be around this side of my family that I don't see very often anymore. And I got to spend some really great quality time with my aunt. And, you know, I saw my uncle and, you know, what do you say? You can't say anything. You know, it's like, my heart still breaks for him. But, you know, otherwise, I mean, it's been work, and, you know, I built another deck, so I'll have a new deck tomorrow, and 3 guesses on who it is, so.
Hey, look, crazy 4-color commander.
I do have a type, so Very excited for that, though. So I'm looking forward to Wednesday night. We'll see how things go. I was hoping Anthony could play, because then it's OG Commander Craft. But if he can't, it'll be kind of cool to work some new people in. I'm sure once I put it out on the Discord, if Nick's anywhere near it, he'll hop on, because he loves to play Steve. So, but yeah, I'm just looking forward to it. I mean, I didn't get a lot of Magic in. I haven't really played a lot. You know what? That'll be part of main one. We'll talk about pre-release there. So let's kind of pivot from that. Let's go to upkeep stage here. So, you know, we're going to talk the state of standard in main one, talk about what's changed there. And there have been some movement. Things are still settling out. And then we're going to talk a little bit of Baldur's Gate overall thoughts. But I want to also hear, Aramis did get to a pre-release this weekend. So I'd love to hear how he did. And then we're going to have combat. We actually do have a combat tonight. And main two, combat may spill into main two. We honestly, you know, we don't have a topic for main two. So we might try to get all of our work in on main one, which you do on some turns. So if somebody has an idea, though, and you're watching the show, feel free to send us in a little request here. But if it's all right with you, man, why don't we get to the main phase?
For it.
All right.
Main phase.
All right. Main phase. So we have had some serious movement in standard of late. I was not prepared for Grixis Vampires to come out of the woodwork. That's new. I mean, I knew Grixis was going to be something. I just didn't know it was going to be vampires. It's kind of interesting.
It kind of makes sense. I mean, because, you know, Black and Red was a big vampire theme for Crimson Vow.
Right. So, and I mean, it is playing with a whole lot of Innistrad cards. It's got Bloodthirsty Adversary. It's got the Harvester. But then it throws in Tenacious Underdog because he blitzes. Mm-hmm. Corpse Appraiser, which is another vampy. And Evelyn the Covetous. So, yeah, I mean, vampires, I didn't realize how many toys Vampire was getting with this set. So, I, for one, had an amazing pre-release, two technically $45 for $80 worth of value. Ah, cool. $45 pre-release packs? Oh, we can talk about that. And then it was playing. So, I mean, tell me a little bit about this deck. I mean, obviously, it's using a bit of expressive iteration, because if you're using red and blue, why wouldn't you? Is it using more of, I mean, it looks like targeted removal, not really, it's not even really control-y. It's almost mid-rangey and meat hook.
This is kind of a mid-range strategy by the looks of it.
Yeah.
Based on my initial glance of the list. I mean, it's running Meat Hook Massacre because why wouldn't you if you're running
absolutely.
Black? Fable of the Mirror Breaker is obviously there to get some value out of some of these creatures. It could be to get some value out of Bloodthirsty Adversary, whatever ETBs here. There's, you know, get extra Corpse Appraisers.
Yeah, so it's triggers off of Evelyn. Really control-y, which Grixis tends to be. It's actually
this
mid-range.
Is kind of mid-rangey, a lot of good synergies.
I mean, the Abandoned Mire.
I like it.
I do
it
too.
It seems aggressive enough.
I may try to play it
quickly, but it seems like also that it can, you know, take control and let the game drag out if it needs to.
Well, I mean, it has. There, I see only really one card that has more than three mana cost, or two cards, and you know, Meat Hook Massacre, which is an X. But I mean, it seems like a pretty low to the ground coming underneath, you know, and yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. And then the second one is Jeskai Hinata, because why wouldn't you play Hinata? So,
I mean, there's Jeskai Hinata, Jeskai Control, so there's a lot of Jeskai.
Yeah.
If you combine the two decks, actually, Jeskai is the number one color combination in the format.
Oh, yeah, Jeskai Control and Jeskai. Well, the difference between Hinata and Control is probably Hinata. Because the Control isn't running Hinata, is it? Which it should. I don't know why you wouldn't.
No, the list that we're getting is Jeskai Storm.
Yeah.
But that's running Liair, Disciple of the Drowned.
Yeah.
My Hinata. I like it.
Yeah, that's and I mean they're both So okay, you take those two. If we put those two together, they're running at 30%. They're running away with the meta. And then everything is bringing up
two different enough decks. Yeah, they're two different enough decks that it's not, you know, it's not going to be an issue. But yeah, there's a couple of clear cut top decks out there right now. I guess the question is how much Capenna is Grixis Vampire running? We've got the Underdog, the Appraiser, Evelyn. There's a few cards right there.
Underdog, yeah, Appraiser, Evelyn.
And then probably lands. Yeah, the Xander's Lounge.
Which, why wouldn't you?
You have to. If you're in this format, you basically have to make disappears in there.
But not enough to make it a deck.
No, but the ones that are in there are very impactful cards and good for what you want it, what this deck wants to do. So this deck is abusing ETB triggers. That's what it looks like to me.
Which is your style. I'm surprised. Like, you haven't built this yet, because if you were going to build a standard deck, I could see this being your style.
It could be. I don't tend to like playing Grixis that much.
Yeah, you're more Esper, but Esper took tumble.
Well, I like Esper. I like Jeskai. I tend to play that a lot. I've played Teemer before, but I don't know why Grixis doesn't really speak to me.
See, I like Grixis. I do. It's not my. I usually almost always prefer, a green blue like Teemer or that sort of thing, or even Jund. But I do like Grixis, because especially back when we were getting Nicol Bolas every other release, like that was usually a nice little fun end the game card. So, but yeah, I'm enjoying. I love seeing things go. I kind of love that there's a mono blue tempo trying to work its way up at the very bottom. I'm like,
yeah. I was going to mention that.
Well, I thought you might. All
wonder if it.
What's that?
I was going to say it'd be interesting if it does end up making some kind of a comeback. I mean, Delver of Secrets is still a good card.
I think it'll spike a tournament. I do. I think you'll see this spike a tournament. So
I mean, it went 5-2 in the new Capenna Championship. So. Yeah.
Like, they'll figure it out. Because I mean, but yeah, Grixis Vampires. That looks almost like my style of deck. You know, like I could see myself playing that deck. So that's kind of exciting. And let's see, is there anything else really? Teemer Control, Esper Midrange, Orzhov.
It's kind of the same characters. It's just the list, the placement's shuffled up quite a bit. I think what you're seeing is really the impact of new Capenna on the metagame. And I think that's really, it's really shaking things up as far as what strategies that weren't viable before. Like we were saying, like Vampires needed a push.
Yeah.
So new Capenna
pushed them,
gave them that push.
Yes. Yes, they did. So I'm kind of excited for that. I'm glad. I'm still kind of a bit surprised we haven't seen a mill deck yet. Some of the rogue stuff that was from the old, is still, viable in standard.
Yeah, I think they lost like
you got the Lord there that can, shit can go sideways, especially in a 1v1. Like,
yeah, I think this format's too fast for it though.
It might be. So,
I think this format's too fast for mill, because mill is one of the hardest ways to win, and the rogue strategy lost like all of its best synergistic pieces.
Right.
When the guild chief or whatever her name was, the one drop rogue that pumped and milled at the same time, I think it really lost a lot of its punch with that. So
yeah, it's still hermit crab though. I mean, I
yeah, but it's that's reliant on landfall, and that's not really blue's thing. And no. I mean, if you start missing land drops, it doesn't do anything.
Yeah, you'd have to go blue, black, green probably.
Yeah, and that's not really not really being pushed right now, because it's all the allied colors that are getting all the fixing.
So it's an interesting time. I still am like, again, so and we'll talk about this more in a little bit in the second topic for main one, or and especially combat. I mean, so you got to look at Lord Xander and go, okay, so he was obviously a commander card because he doesn't fit anything. like, he was obviously a commander card. You know, like Omnath was, where, you know, yes, they banned Omnath 7 seconds after it arrived. Why? Because it was really intended for commander. So
it was also really, really, really good.
Oh, it's just busted out loud. I love it.
Whereas, you know, Xander's a commander card, but it's not one of those cards that's like breaking any formats anywhere.
Yeah. I'd love to see if somebody can make that deck work. I think it can work. I think it can spike at least to get into a top eight, maybe, but you might be right. I mean, this is just a fast format with all of the triomes, you know, allied colors in there. I think, yeah. And what do you see? Turbo Mill with dual strike and Tasha's is a thing still. Thanks, Meet Reality. I that would be interesting. If you got a deck list, man, feel free to put it up in like our Discord or, you know, get a link here in the chat. So, but yeah, I just, oh, what do you think, Garamus?
I think it's a faster format than it's had been in the last couple of years, but also more fair, if that makes sense. There's nothing out there that is, again, I don't think anything needs to get banned. I don't think anything is really problematic. We've been saying this for a few weeks now. Standard's in a good spot. I mean, there's churn, you know, stuff is moving around. There's new strategies coming up, beating down the older strategies, but then the older strategies aren't really going away. They're adapting, which is really nice to see. So it's not stale by any means. The problem is going to be the fact that the new Capenna cards were the last injection of new cards until the fall. And this format will get stale eventually, and right. Which is unfortunate, but that happens every year around
long gap.
Well, every time after the last set before rotation, it gets eventually solved. And then right. It just sort of sits there for, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks until the new set comes out.
And so, I think that's what's, I mean, I could see them doing again with this long. I mean, this is a longer lull than we're used to seeing. And I think a lot of that has to do with the pandemic as well as, you know, them putting out 2 Innistrad sets back to back. This is a pretty longer lull. I don't remember a lull this long. Usually we see rotation set hit like August-ish. You know, so I don't know. It's an interesting.
Well, they're not going to. I don't think they're going to like do any like early bans, you know, to shake things up, because I think that's banning for banning's sake. And I don't think they're really interested in doing that, because, you know, whatever ulterior motives you think Wizards has aside, they do still have people who want the integrity of the competitive game to stay intact.
Right.
And just banning a card because we want to shake up the format, make you buy new cards is a little too obvious.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
So,
all right. So let's kind of pivot off of State of Standard. So again, Standard's in a good spot.
Yes.
One of the other things we do, oh. Hello, Pam.
He is.
Yes. I'm sorry about the poison ivy. Keep the lotion on the arm. And then tonight, if you could, just take that arm and just wipe it on your husband a little bit. Just any, you know, at any point, you know.
It puts the lotion on its skin or else it gets the hose again.
Wow. That'd be great, Meat. Share it in the Discord. That'd be awesome. So let's talk a little bit about the other topic we tend to like to talk about. We're a Standard podcast, obviously. But we do talk a bit about Commander as well. Oh, it's nice and oozy, she says. Aramis is gonna sleep in ooze, doo-dah. Okay. So let's talk a little bit, though, about Commander, because I've got some interesting thoughts. So why don't we talk a little bit about the pre-release? Why don't you give me your thoughts on Baldur's Gate, you know, the pre-release first, and then Baldur's Gate as a whole, because you've had more experience with it than I have.
Yeah. All right, so I went to Kerwin's on Friday night for the pre-release, and Commander Legends 2 Battle for Baldur's Gate Electric Boogaloo, this time it's serious.
Strikes back,
I forgot about that
yes,
one.
Yes, thank you. The Wrath of Khan,
yeah. this is a Commander-focused set, but it's also a set that's built for drafting.
Yes.
So you play Commander as a draft, which is a very interesting.
Hey, Matt, thanks for the like, buddy.
It's a very interesting format to play Commander as. So the way that it works is the pre-release kits that you get, instead of getting six booster packs, you get three. Okay. And the way Commander Legends works, the Wrath of Karn.
Oh, yeah,
that was a low-hanging fruit that we missed.
Oh, we missed that. For those of you not watching the stream at home, Parkman, one Wrath of our patrons, comes in with Wrath of Karn. Oh, I feel horrible for missing that.
And you know what we could have gone even farther. Wrath of Karns of Tarkir.
Jeez. Damn it.
Anyway, so the booster packs for Commander Legends have 20 cards in them instead of 14.
Right.
So that's part of the reason why you're only getting three packs instead of six. Exactly. He'll be here all night, tip your waitress. So you got to keep the promo that you opened.
Well, good.
And then you open your pack, and normally in a draft, you pick one card and pass it to the player on your left until the pack is empty. Open the next pack, take one card, pass to the right, back and forth. For this one, you're taking two cards each pick.
Okay.
So theoretically, the draft goes a little bit faster. And then from that, you build a 60-card commander deck.
Out of 60 cards.
Out of 60 cards, but you're forgetting, you know, you're adding lands. So yeah, you're really using maybe like 45, 46 of them around there. And also the singleton rule does not apply.
Oh, that's sweet.
So, yeah. So the deck that I drafted, I had two command towers, which was great. I tried to get some, you know, as much fixing as I could. Opened a reflecting pool, which was really nice. So you had to, you know, all the other commander rules applied.
Sure.
Color identity, all that stuff.
Drafter. You draft very well, usually. You're good at limited.
I like limited. Limited is my favorite format. I'm not as good as drafting as I am at sealed.
Right.
But I felt like I drafted a pretty decent deck. It was black and red. And the main commander that I had, I don't remember what his name was. I have to pull up my pre-release kit. Here it is. Convenient. I have it right here. So let's see. I got a Swiftfoot Boots in my draft.
Well, that's good. A
couple Charcoal Diamonds. So my commander was Saravok Deathbringer. He was a 3/4 for three generic and a black. At the beginning of each player's end step, if no permanents left the battlefield this turn, that player loses X life, where X is Saravok's power. And you also choose a background with him. So background is like the new partner mechanic.
Right.
So you had to pick. My second commander was a background. And it was Draconic Cultist, which was a legendary enchantment. And then commander creatures I own have at the beginning of my end step, if a source I control dealt five or more damage, I got a 4/4 red dragon flying creature token.
Oh, you bastard. How'd you do?
lost both games.
Oh, very good.
Lost both games.
So is it four? Almost, it's 4/4, obviously.
It's four player commander. So you break off after it's an 8-player table to draft. You break off into 4-player pods. And I mean, I had fun. Both of the games were really fun. The second game, I was really just about one turn away from winning. I probably misplayed the last turn that I had and might have survived if I'd played it a little differently. But it was a blast. They only played two rounds. There were 48 people that showed up.
Wow.
It started a little late because a bunch of people came in like right at 6:30 when the tournament was supposed to start, but they let them register, which is fine.
Right.
So we didn't get started. It was supposed to start at 6:30. We didn't get started until almost 7:30.
Oh, jeepers.
And so we drafted. That took like, you know, half an hour. And then you had like an hour to build your deck, almost hour and 10 minutes or something crazy like that to build your deck. And then the rounds were like 2 hours a piece.
Wow.
So, you know, I was still out of there like midnight, 12:30 around there.
I know our other store, Flights, they were an all-nighter. They did an all-nighter again.
Yeah, they started at 9 p.m. and I think they ended shortly after 4:30 in the morning.
Right.
But it was a lot of fun. So my impressions of the set, it's a great draft environment. It doesn't have as many.
I'm sorry, I don't do impressions. My training is in psychiatry.
I've been waiting for that. Sorry.
Okay. That reference went over my head anyway.
Oh, it's Airplane 2.
Okay. I'll add that to the list of movies I haven't seen.
Go on.
I think it doesn't have as many like obvious super staples as Commander Legends 1 did. Nothing incredibly super crazy.
Yeah.
I don't think it's incredibly underpowered. I think they what they did was they said, we really want to focus on the draft environment for this set. And we want people to experience Commander as a draft format. And I think with that in mind, they did a fantastic job.
I agree.
There are, you know, there's several cards that are going to be going into different decks.
It's
that
Elder Dragons, though, really. Is there anything outside of the Elder Dragons that might be going into different decks?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Some of the backgrounds are really good. You know, you don't have to have them in the command zone. You can have them in the 99. And right. There's some of them that are quite good. There are several new legends that work as commanders that open up new strategies. You know, they touch different parts of the game that maybe other legends hadn't quite done mm-hmm. yet. So there's new archetypes that you can build. They reprinted the Battle Bond land, which is really nice.
Well, the ones they
not
did.
A lot.
Yeah.
Not a lot of really good reprints overall. I'm kind of disappointed at that. I feel like they could have. This would have been a great place to reprint like Dockside Extortionist or Smothering Tithe. Maybe not Rhystic Study, but there could have been. I think there could have been more reprints. There were some good ones. Like
a lot of people saying Double Masters is where that stuff might fall in.
Jessica's Will was reprinted, but in one of the Commander precons. It's not in the set proper. Right. That's the thing. So I'm not counting that really as a reprint.
And we have to get the precons. Holy crap, that's right. Because next week.
Precons are released next week, or this week, actually.
Yeah, this Friday, which means I don't know if we'll be able to get all four by next week. We might take it 2 weeks. You know what? We might make, maybe we'll push the precons out to the June show. Because June is the fifth Wednesday. We have 5 Wednesdays this month. Maybe we'll push, we'll talk. Yeah.
Yeah, Lightning Bolt was reprinted. Nature's Lore was reprinted at Common, which was nice.
Denver Nightwing's Lightning Bolt.
Yeah, Lightning Bolt was reprinted. Good. Fireball was reprinted. But it's a good set. I think they learned some lessons from Commander Legends 1. There's nothing here like Hull Breacher. There's nothing here like Opposition Agent. There's nothing here.
I don't know
here...
how I feel about that though. It's you know, and it's gonna it's gonna go into our command. It's gonna go into our combat. But I've looked through all the spoilers, and I'm mm-hmm. you know now. It's weird because I've listened to other content creators and they all kind of say the same thing that it actually sounds an awful lot like what we said during Adventures of the Forgotten Realm, which is, you know, missed opportunity, lower powered decks, lower powered cards, you know, it's kind of just meh, but it's flavorful. And it is. A lot of what's going on in some of these cards is flavorful if you do D&D. Like, and that part is cool. I do think, though, that you're right. Like, not doing Dockside, not doing Smothering Tithe, not doing, you know, cards that are very much a staple.
Staples in the format.
Yeah. I mean, to do, you know, no, we do not need a Jeweled Lotus Repent. The dragons are not too much. The dragons are good. I think the dragons are what you need, and I'm going to get one of each because they're going in my dragon deck. But, you know, because that's what my dragon deck needs is more degeneracy.
There's a dragon legend that you would like, that's Simic, that lets you play dragons off the top of your deck.
Yeah. That's probably going to go in my deck, almost assuredly. Yeah.
It's only cost 2 mana.
I know. Yeah. So
yeah, dragon decks like Ur-Dragon and Sign of Ur-Dragon and things like that. They got like Tiamat. They got toys.
Yeah, we got toys. Yeah,
they got toys. But it's good to see. It's.
But that's the problem. Other than dragons, there wasn't a lot, and I think
there's stuff there.
I don't think this is the last Commander Legends we're gonna see. I think there'll be one every other year. I think, and that's gonna kind of take us to combat. So I mean, I'm just gonna hit it because that you know.
Fire away.
Combat phase.
So, here's the combat phase, is that I'm posing the question. With Commander Legends, it does appear that Wizards is introducing rotation again to another Eternal format. And so, how do you feel about these type of products in regards to Commander? Was the question I posed to Aramis. And my thinking is this: if you're gonna do it, do it. If you're not gonna do it, hey Devin, Denver, thank you very much for the follow. If you're gonna do it, do it. If you're not gonna do it, then don't do it. You know, and it's a bit much for me because Commander was always supposed to be cards you get in other sets that you can keep playing with in a fun and new and exciting way that's not as expensive as Legacy. And it's meant to be casual. But with Commander Legends and drafting, and every set now has two or three Commander decks, at the very least two. You know, and Warhammer's coming out, there's going to be like 27. And Dilla, I'm saying, here's what I say by rotation. I don't mean that cards rotate out, but I'm saying that what was really good in Commander just, you know, let's say pre-Commander Legends, okay, what was really good and what was really reliable as far as not even just competitive EDH, but even casual, is no longer, it's a harder to play those decks now. Because you have Jeweled Lotus, you know, Hull Breacher's gone, thank God. But, you know, you've got other stuff coming in here. Omnath, even in a way, kind of introduced rotation in a sense. It's not rotation so much as cancellation. You're right, Parkman. And I kind of struggle with that because I'm like, you know, Commander was supposed to be the one format where, you know, kind of anything went. You only need one of each card. It was kind of great. So, I mean, what do you think, Aramis? How do you think things are going?
Is that your entire answer?
Probably not, but that's what discussions are about.
Because I disagree with you.
Boom! Yes, we have a combat. I played it twice. Go ahead.
You did play it twice. I have zero issue with the Commander Legends sets.
Okay.
The problem I have is when they introduce cards that are, quote, strictly better or automatic super staples, like your Dockside Extortionists, mm-hmm. your Jeweled Lotus, your Hull Breacher.
Well, Dockside came in as Commander Precon. It didn't come in.
But still, Legends. But still, there's a, you know, right. there's a reason the card is $80.
Right. Jeweled because Lotus if you're playing, last year was the big one.
Jeweled Lotus was huge, you know. Three Mana Rocks not being played anymore. I mean, here's the thing. Commander doesn't rotate, and that has not changed. And the thing that you said about Commander is still absolutely true. You can do whatever you want. Commander is still the one format, because it is a casual format, unless you're into CEDH, in which case it's slightly less casual, but you can still have a lot of fun in it. It's the one format where you can do whatever the hell you want. You want to build a deck that's based around every card having, you know, cards that only have one artist on them, have at it.
Sure.
You can do that. You know, you can really personalize the decks that you play however you want.
Sure.
And it's the one format where having fun is still the main purpose of playing, not necessarily winning. There's plenty of Commander decks out there that are like, hey, I'm probably going to deck myself, but it's going to be awesome.
Right.
I'm not going to win this game, but everybody's going to have a blast.
Right. And I don't disagree with that.
I don't think the Commander Legends set changed that at all. I think this one doesn't have as many of the raw power cards that Commander Legends 1 had. You know, there's no mana drain.
Right.
It would be nice to have some of those cards in there just so they're not as expensive.
Shit, Fierce Guardianship.
Fierce Guardianship would have been fantastic.
Right.
That would have been a great reprint. But I don't... This one especially, the first one less so, but this one especially doesn't have these ridiculously powerful cards that are like, well, I have to play this card in every deck I have of this color because it's so obviously better than anything else I could use.
Correct.
But at the same time, it's still there where you can be like, I just don't want to use that card, and I'm still going to have fun. I'm not interested. Like in Commander, a good way to look at it, since you're playing four people, if your win rate is higher than 25%,
right, which I think you and I are for sure.
You know, so if you're winning one out of every four games, you're doing pretty good.
Right.
You know, 50%, you're probably too powerful for your play group.
Right.
But it's such a self-policing format in a way, like you know, the rules committee.
The rule zero stuff is key, obviously, yes.
Well, the rule zero, the pregame conversations, you know, a lot of that stuff has to do with also how comfortable you are with the group. Doing those, yeah, please reprint those cards. I want people to have them.
He said, don't reprint Dockside or Smothering Tides. I own those cards. I disagree with that wholeheartedly. In fact, I say reprint the entire reserved list.
I have many Smothering Tides, and I would love for them to be reprinted.
I have 3 Smothering Tides. I have 2 Dockside.
I think I have 2 or 3 Dockside, and I would love for them to be reprinted.
So would I.
But
so should Fetches, and so should Duels, in my opinion. But
yeah. Kill the reserve list. It's still, if you're in a play group that, you know, you all know each other really well, and you know how each other want, you know, they think and how they play and how they build your decks, everybody kind of settles around one sort of like realm with their power levels. Like,
sure,
Commander Craft, perfect example. I would say we are middle to high powered.
Right. We get into this arms race.
Usually, not quite, but it's not quite CEDH, and I think the arms race is not as bad as some playgroups can get. It's not cutthroat. Nobody's really jumped headlong into CEDH. I mean, we have some powerful decks,
right?
But most of us are of the ilk. Okay, I'm going to play this deck. Da da da. All right, I got it out of my system. Let's bring it back down a little bit.
Right.
You know, and we have our own way of self-policing, where if a deck wins too much, it gets put away for a while.
Right.
But I don't have it. I think rotation is kind of a dirty word in this respect.
I'm using it the same way that people do when they're talking Modern Horizons now.
But it's different.
Rotation.
Because Modern is a competitive format.
Okay.
Modern is a format where if you're rolling in with whatever deck you want, chances are you're going to get crushed. In Commander, that's not necessarily the case. It's much more likely that you're going to say, hey, I'm playing this deck. I just put it together, da da da. And the rest of the play group will be like, oh, okay, cool. I'll bring this deck aside. It's too strong for what you're playing. This is a little bit closer to where you are, because everybody's goal, again, isn't necessarily to win. It's more likely to just, hey, let's just have a good time with 4 people, have a nice social gathering. If you're playing CDH, obviously you're going in knowing what to expect. And that's a different conversation. And it's not more cutthroat, but winning is a higher priority. Having fun is still high on the list, but it might not be as high as winning. Whereas in a typical casual group, they're like, hey, we're going to chill, have some beers. You know, we're going to have some music in the background, have some pizza. We're going to sling some spells. And okay, yeah, it doesn't always work out great. People get salty sometimes. That's just the nature of Magic, because you know, the game tends to piss people off.
Right.
That's what it does. Because some of the
we've all had it. It happens on Commander Craft, people. If you watch us live, you don't have to go very far before even me, Aramis, we are not immune. There have been nights where I have just made Aramis ready to just, you know, to Fairy's Protection. What? Ah! You know, we've all been there.
It's not so much the Teferi's Protection as the Null Rod.
Yeah. where do we watch these Commander games? Nightwings. We have a webcast we do every Wednesday on our channel. So you can go back and look if you're on Twitch.
7 p.m. Eastern time on Wednesday nights.
So we do some in-store because we have a separate sponsor for the Commander Craft, because it's a separate show. And then we do from this. And we do at least, you know, we usually play probably 1 to 2 games, depends on how long they go, but we usually get about 2 hours of content. We use Spell Table. You're more than welcome, dude. Hop into the Discord. You know, we're always looking for players.
Let me just sum up my argument here.
Oh, sorry. Go on.
So,
yes.
No, it's fine. I'm basically done.
Okay.
So what I think about the Commander Legend sets overall, first one was a little bit too strong.
I don't know. I liked it.
There were too many cards, and it doesn't take too many. It's only 2 or 3 that kind of sour the rest of the set, because these cards are so good, so much better than everything. Again, Jeweled Lotus, Hull Breacher. You can kind of, I mean, you can't really make too much of an argument for Jeskha's Will. It's just a really good card. But there's a lot of cards in there where you're like, oh, okay, I guess I kind of have to play this if I have access to it.
Right.
This Commander Legends set is on the weaker side. I'm not going to say it's a low powered set or a poor set. I think there aren't as many or any of these super staple cards in there. I think there is a sweet spot, and I think
I'm hoping they were close.
Well, yeah, I'm hoping 3 hits it. I think 2 was closer to hitting it than 1 was. Both of these sets are really good in injecting new cards into the format and opening up new strategies. There's a lot of new strategies that came out with these.
I'm going to say this. I think they missed it just as far as Commander Legends 1 did. Here's what I think might have happened. And again, I'm taking some of this from other content creators as well. MTG Goldfish, I listened to their podcast the other day. You know, they kind of posited that, okay, that if we look at where this fell, this is probably a result of stuff that they put together for, Forgotten Realms, that these were leftovers, like that, they kind of had the building blocks. And at that time, and it's obvious, if you look at, you know, Adventures in the Forgotten Realms, Kaldheim, even some of Innistrad, the first couple, Innistrad, it's obvious that Wizard has laid off the gas, that power creep was going way too far, and so they laid off the gas. That's obvious. And if you look at Commander Legends had tons of power creep. We're forgetting 1,000 cards in our mind right now that impacted Commander when Commander Legends 1 came out. And Commander Legends 2, I think, is a result of them taking their foot off the gas. I think the missed opportunity is they should have done more with mechanics they already had. I would have liked to have seen them really gone after the dungeon mechanic, because you really can't play dungeons in Commander right now. There's still not enough support for it, and this would have been a perfect
The initiative mechanic in Commander Legends 2.
Oh, it's
2,
flavorful as hell. I love it.
From the two games that we played, it's a very powerful mechanic.
Right. And I
played D&D. Initiative is crazy. There was the second game that I played. Yeah, the second game that we played, me and another player were bouncing initiative back and forth. We each completed that dungeon at least once, and the Undercity is a good dungeon, right. And I believe you can still use that dungeon for Venture.
Yeah.
Without having, initiative. But I think it's a nice twist on the Venture mechanic. And right. they had a lot of dice rolling stuff, and they brought back Myriad, which was annoying.
that mechanic is really annoying. They could have brought back parties too. They could have pulled other cards that might have fell out from the last set that had parties in it, which was ZR, right? Zendikar Rising.
Yeah. I mean, one of the precons focuses on parties.
Right. So, and that's a D&D thing. So again, yeah. I don't like how Wizards is kind of introducing rotation to a lot of legacy formats. And when I shouldn't say rotation, obsolescence, whatever, however you want to say it. I don't like that. Okay. Now, CL2 is not as big as CL1, obviously. We can say that out loud. It's obvious.
Yeah, and
the power level
and commanders more resilient for right. that kind of thing anyway.
Yeah, I guess
it is
because I don't really play Jeweled Lotus that much. But I mean, I definitely play Fierce Guardianship in every single deck that has blue. Like it's in Briya, that's for sure. Because how do you not play it? You know, there are some cards that. You know, out of that CL set that have to go in, their auto includes. And I'm okay with staples. I think staples are fine. I do think they need to reprint. I think they need to reprint dual lands and gold border and say these are commander legal only. Okay, you can get away with that. You've reprinted shit in gold border before. So make
or
it,
even
yeah.
even in black border, like if there's a list of staples, I mean it doesn't have to necessarily be a coherent set. They could come out with these, like, I don't even know what you
could
call
Could you imagine
them, like
if
little...
they came up with a set called Commander Staples?
It's like an anthology set.
Yeah.
Where it's like, this set's not meant to be drafted. They'll only sell, like, I don't know, set boosters.
Yeah.
So it's that. It's collated. It's curated. It's not really, you can't really play this in limited experience. You get a pack of, I don't know, even if it's only like 10 cards, whatever. And you can get some alternate arts. You can get some right. alternate frames, what have you. And it's super staple. So, you know, you have a good chance of a Smothering Tithe or a Dockside or a Fetch Land.
Even if you're not going to do duels, fetch lands. And again, Shock I know lands. They're getting better about printing fetch lands. Oh, yeah. Fierce Guardianship was from Ikoria, but it was a commander deck. And I thought, wasn't Fierce Guardianship reprinted in CL?
It's never been reprinted.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Mana Drain was reprinted.
Mana Drain. That was, yeah. I mean, it's just a matter of CL was a really, really.
Vintage
Magic
was meant to be drafted DC. Right.
Well, I think CL was more sealed. Like, I think the pre-release was sealed. This was like
Commander
a
Legends,
draft.
Commander Legends was meant to be drafted as well. The problem is it came out at the beginning of the pandemic.
Right, so it was just sealed, basically.
It was never really... Yeah. People really didn't get a chance to draft it, and it was more...
Because you weren't handing cards to somebody sitting next to you at that point.
Not really, no. And then also, too, I think there were also, you know, production delays and everything else. My one hope, I haven't really had a chance to look at it too much. I hope the foils for this one aren't as bad as the first one.
Did you buy a box? Are we cracking a box? I'm not going
to crack. I'm not interested enough in the set to buy a box.
Me either. So, I mean, I could see us cracking a bundle, but I don't know if there are bundles.
I think this pre-release kit's probably going to be the only boosters I buy of this set because
I think these will go way down in price.
If there's cards I'm interested in, I'll buy the singles. Because this is a set that's meant to be drafted, and it's only going to be legal in Commander and Legacy and Vintage.
Yeah.
So I don't play Legacy, I don't play Vintage, I only play Commander, and I'm not playing everything that set has to offer. So I guess in a very broad sense, this set isn't for me, I guess.
Yeah.
But
I do. I think if they were to make Commander Legends 3, Commander Staples, and you're gonna have necessary reprints of, okay, fine, you can't do the duels, put the fetches and the shocks in there. Put, you know, Dockside and, you know, all the stuff, Neverell's Disc and, you know, everything that you almost automatically put into a Commander deck if you have the colors for it. And, you know, you could easily make a 200 card set. You probably could charge $10, $15. You might even be able to get away with $20 for a 15 card booster for that set. And people would, it would fly off the shelves.
It should still be $4.
But Wizards doesn't do that. So
I mean, like these Commander Legends packs are not $4 here, and they should be.
I'm meeting them halfway here. If they print them into booster sets, again, if they print Dockside, if they print, you know, Smothering Tide.
If they do, I can feel better about a premium price on the booster pack if they commission new art, if there's new frames,
right,
new foil treatments. Things like that, because
Mystic Study, prime example.
Well, yeah, just a flat reprint set. Those sets are cheaper to make.
Right.
The Master sets are cheaper to make than a typical Standard set. So the only reason that those packs cost $12, $13 a pack is because Wizards looks at the secondary market, even though they say they don't, and they know that they'll get more bang for their buck putting these cards in those boosters. Especially when they upshift them to Mythic, because people are going to want, you know, it's like, hey, I could spend $15 and maybe get a Dockside instead of spending $80 and just getting the card.
Like, if they made a Commander Staples set, you know, Rhystic Study is going to be rare. You know, they'll bump that to a rare.
Oh, it's going
to
be Mythic.
I don't know if they do Mythic, but they will definitely do rare. I think they'll make an uncommon into a Mythic.
It was a common.
Yeah, you're right. It was a common.
Rhystic Study was a common.
Yeah, that's an interesting.
And it's still $40.
Yeah. I mean, they will
upshift that shit to Mythic. I mean, I guess the one thing you look at is look at the secret lair that it was printed in and see what rarity it was there.
Right. That's a good point.
It was a rare in Jumpstart, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
So I can still see them upshifting that to Mythic. I can see them upshifting Smothering Tithe to Mythic just because.
And I get that, because Smothering Tithe is one of those cards that's, you know, amazing. So I love Smothering Tide. It's one of my favorite cards. I have a playset because the only reason I have a playset is it was printed in Guilds of Ravnica or Ravnica Allegiance, whichever one.
Ravnica Allegiance. Yeah.
I mean, you know, I love, and I think you and I both opened a shit ton of those packs.
I think I opened
at least two boxes plus a couple of bundles.
No, I opened one box and I think I had two tithes, and I think I bought one more, and then it has been reprinted once. It was put into the Brawl deck, the Alayla Brawl deck.
You're right.
That's the only time it's ever been reprinted, and there weren't too many of those Brawl decks. So that's one of the reasons why, like, the only reason some of these cards are so expensive is because they just haven't been reprinted.
Yeah, but don't forget, you and I, too, we did open quite a bit of cards, because back then we were working together. Oh, no.
Yeah, right? But I didn't open.
We didn't work together. Oh, no, yeah, we did.
We did. That was right at the beginning of the podcast.
We were doing some seals. We were doing some, you know, you and I would do a couple of,
yeah,
like,
but I think literally over the course that I bought a box and maybe like another half a box worth of packs, but I didn't go too crazy with Ravnica Allegiance.
Yeah,
but again, that's the biggest reason why some of these cards are as expensive as they are. Like as good as the shocks are, you know, they're only just now creeping up to back to the $20-$25 range. And that's just because it's been a couple of years since they've been reprinted. We know they're coming in Unfinity, but that hasn't been released yet. And it's also a special art, so that's not really going to drop down the price too much.
And it's going to be hard to get them. Yeah.
It's going to be hard to get them, but that's the thing. It's just, it's like, I'm not necessarily saying that, okay, you reprint these things into the ground, so they're like Soul Ring and it's like a dollar to get them. Although, I mean, there are worse things that could happen, you know, but reprinting them once every other year wouldn't be the worst thing. I mean, Dockside Extortionist at $25 is still a lot for a single Magic card, but it's better than 80.
Yeah, especially the fetch, especially the fetches and shocks. You know, I mean, they're key to making modern. They're key for every damn format, with the exception of Pioneer.
Yeah, and that's the biggest reason they don't reprint them is because they know that if they do, that particular set will fly off the shelves, but then they won't have that bullet in their back pocket to use for another set that maybe doesn't have anything else good in it.
Right. So,
like, I think that was the big selling point for Zendikar Rising.
Yeah, it was. That was just the fucking box toppers.
Yeah, you can get them in collector boosters too. But I bet a lot of boxes flew off the shelves.
Yeah, I think you and I cracked two.
Yeah.
Yeah, I cracked two regular boosters and at least one collector.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean that, you know,
and it was great. And same thing with what they did with the Mystical Archives. That has to happen more often. Doesn't necessarily have to be Mystical Archives, doesn't necessarily even have to be alternate frames, but something like that where it's a small curated list of cards that are powerful.
That are not the list. We don't want
that
the
are not
list.
The list. They show up in every booster. That's where you reprint some of these cards.
Not Divine Gambit. For fuck's sake, stop printing Divine Gambit.
They really banked on it. They were really thinking that
really
card was gonna be something.
It was that, and seriously, Divine Gambit was the green dinosaur that they were putting in everything for a while.
Colossal Dreadmaw.
Yeah, Colossal Dreadmaw. He was everywhere.
But, like, here's the thing. Okay, as much as I bash Divine Gambit, there are situations where it is fantastic.
Really?
Those situations are rare.
Is it in your Yidris situations? Because it seems like that would be a Yidris card.
No, not necessarily. Well, Yidris doesn't have white.
That's true. So
it's not a Yidris card.
Yeah.
And Chaos Warp.
I'm kind of annoyed because, I mean, I built the Bria deck I'm building. Part of the reason I'm building it is, you know, I ordered the Secret Lair that has Atraxa and Yidris and Bria in it. And I didn't realize I had Bria. So I thought I was getting Yidris and Bria and just a really cool version of Atraxa. And I was going through my creatures the other day looking for a card, and I came across it, and I'm like, well, shit.
All I gotta say is that I hope you have a way to give that stuff hexproof, because you played a deck against Zakama. Those are a lot of tasty snacks.
There are ways Brea, to get my artifacts hexproof, yes.
Brea is an artifact.
Yes, she is.
Zakama's gonna be over there just going nom nom nom, nom, nom on Brea's head.
Actually, I got ways to get my stuff into structure.
Oh yeah. There's plenty of ways to get around. I'm just saying, like, if you
if those
it
are
and
not
that
out,
didn't happen, it's the buffet is open.
It's a bad that would be a bad matchup. And of course, no matter how the rest of the board will look, you will look at me and go, oh no, I need to take your shit out first.
Yeah, because you're gonna have stuff on there that says, I'm just gonna try to shut you completely off. Yeah, no, that can't happen.
It's not like I put Teferi Time Raveler in. Oh wait, yeah.
Doesn't stop instant activated abilities.
I know it doesn't. Oh, but yeah. So I think I'm not down on CL. I'm not. I'm just
It's not as powerful as sets recently have been. It's not as powerful as the last set. I think it hits the mark they were aiming for. I don't think it hits the mark that other players were hoping for.
And I think I do think that Double Masters will see some of those reprints we need.
Oh, Double Masters is going to be disgusting.
I think Double Masters will have Dockside. I think Double Masters
I think Gavin is on, either Gavin or Mark are on record saying they want to have a foil version of Dockside available. Wasn't in Commander Legends, no. So the only other place it really could be, if it's going to show up in foil, is going to be Double Masters, which means they're probably going to upshift that shit to Mythic.
Yeah.
Although getting a foil Dockside would be pretty cool.
That would be kind of nice. So, and that means that they probably aren't going to be, you know, a lot of people are like, they're going to ban it. I don't think they're banning it. In fact, they kind of went like, you're like, oh, I think if they're going to ban Dockside Extortionist because there's not as much help for treasures. And Wizards was like, hold my beer. So,
but don't forget, too, Wizards are not the ones that ban cards in Commander.
Yes, I know. So, well, no, of course they're not. And they're also not ones that keep cards from getting banned in Commander. Oh, wait, Walking Dead. Which, you know, at the end of the day, you know what? There was a whole lot of shit that didn't happen.
How many Walking Dead cards do you really see?
Negan. My Negan deck's kind of fun, but... Oh, I should actually look in there. There's probably some cards I need. All right. So with that being said, I think that's kind of a show for us. Like, yeah, we, you know, that's our combat. And I don't think anybody won. I just think it was a good conversation. Let's go to main two.
Main phase.
And I'm going to go ahead and pass the turn, unless you got anything else.
You just activated Sundial of the Infinite.
Ah, yes. And I did Nexus of Fate. We're doing another episode.
Whee!
All right, so let's go to
Endstep.
All right, so as Aramis and I are rolling up our playmats, putting our cards back in their boxes, taking the pizza boxes over to the trash, because damn it, your mother still does not work in this Walmart. We want to remind you guys that we have an awesome Twitch channel where we stream all sorts of content. Just look up the Planestalkers podcast channel on Twitch. You're probably watching us there right now if you're watching us live. And you can follow all the shows we do, everything we do. Occasionally, I'll throw stuff up there of other geeky games I'm playing. Little known fact, if you're one of our patrons using our Minecraft server, I think I said Minecast and Minecraft. That's funny. If you're using the Minecraft server, I am rebuilding that tomorrow when the new set comes out. Or the new release comes out. So if you're on there, let me know. And that mainly is Jake. Otherwise, check it out. It's at Planestalkers Podcast on Twitch. I also have my own Twitch. It's Minecrime73, and you can see it there.
Okay. And if you'd like to interact with us in a more real-time fashion outside of the show, you can join our Discord at discord.planestalkerspodcast.com. It's a great community. A lot of the folks that are chatting today are on our Discord. They're active all the time, especially during our Winter Box tournaments, especially during when we're doing things with Commander. Just awesome folks up and down. So yeah, discord.planestalkerspodcast.com. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter, we do have a Twitter page feed thingy, birdie. I don't know what they're called. What do they call those?
Profile Elon.
Accounts, I guess? Elon. Well, although maybe not.
Maybe not.
Maybe not. So anyway, if you'd like to find us on Twitter, we tweet about the show. We tweet when we're going live. Sometimes we tweet about other stuff. I've been neglecting it again. I got to get back on that horse, but I will.
I
know I'm such a terrible person. I don't understand this social media bull crap. It's at Plains Talker Pod.
All right. And I have my own personal Twitter. It's at WR Benson. I'm only on there really to follow some of my more favorite musical artists like, Liberace and Lawrence Welk, people that have really made an impact on my life. But you can also follow us on Facebook. We're at facebook.com/planestalker. Like and follow the page there. And don't forget, we do have our live playcast we do every Wednesday where we play Paper Commander live. This week, again, OG Commander Crafter Steve is coming back to the show. We'll be looking for somebody to sit in the fourth seat for game one and maybe one or two for game two. Find out more, just go to our Discord there. Tune into all of our channels Wednesdays around 7 Eastern to watch that.
Yep, and I will be the returning champion with Kurik, Son of Yawgmoth, Mono Black Storm. So good stuff. I was not expecting the deck to explode the way that it did last week. If you haven't seen it, go check out last week's episode. I think it's up on YouTube.
Right, it is.
If not there, you can check out the VODs on Twitch. Yeah, you can check the VODs on Twitch. But yeah, good stuff.
Yes, so, and...
But, finally, you can send the show an email. You were going to try to read my card, weren't
you? Well, 1 week off, man. I was like, you kind of did your own bit. So now I'm like, oh, but that says Aramis. I can't read that.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah, you totally threw me off because I'm sitting here looking at people that want me to get a shoe thrown at my head.
Oh, well, I totally endorse and support that product and or
service.
Too
bad I've relegated the wife to her office upstairs. She cannot throw shoes at me from there.
Well, I mean, I have her on Facebook, so I could just send her a message. Hang on real quick. Throw a shoe in. Anyway, yeah, email. You can send us emails. If you have a question or a suggestion for the show or just want to vent or whatever, there are three email addresses that you can send us an email. The first one goes to both of us. It's podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com. If you'd like to email one of us individually, you can email Will. His address is will@planestalkerspodcast.com. If you'd like to email me, the address is Aramis, A-R-A-M as in Michael, I, S as in Sam, @planestalkerspodcast.computer.
And on that note... We want to thank you guys for just hanging out with us tonight or listening to us in your cars this week. We will be back. I think next week we'll have a show. Monday night, we are again also back Wednesday night with the Commander Craft, with the OG Commander Crafter Steve. And for Aramis Perez, this is Will Benson saying again, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our community. And we hope you all have a great and safe week. And we're reminding you to keep some of your mana untapped because you never know when you'll need it. Take care and have a good one. Ah, bye-bye now.